in the original Center for Nuclear Education and Training, which was sponsored by the National Science Foundation. Just to show you some of the results now, our current enrollment in the Nuclear Operator Training Program is 96 students, and we find that to be optimum. Let me tell you that these students are students who could very well have started at Clemson or USC to begin with in engineering. They're outstanding students. They're outstanding students. 96, we find, is where we need to be in terms of the enrollment. Out of that, you'll see that we have now graduated over the last, since we started the program, we graduated 86 of those 86. Most all of them are working. Some 70 something percent are working directly in the utility industry or in the nuclear industry. You would say why and all? Because sometimes the timing of the job doesn't align directly with their finishing. And believe me, this is such a great program that other industries will take them. Whether it's the paper industry, whether it's advanced manufacturing, because this is such a good and well-trained technician, other industries will scoop them up if the timing is not exactly right. So job placement is very, very high, essentially. All of those go to work. Now, you'll see that most of the ones we graduated have gone to Mr. Byrne and South Carolina Electric Gas, but you'll see many are now at Duke, some down at Plant Vogtle, and some in other parts of the United States. In addition, just like Dr. Windsor, there are other programs that we, especially in the skilled crafts area, to support Chicago Bridge and Iron, Westinghouse, and others who are building those facilities in those areas like welder, electrician, pipe fitter, and chemical operator, as we have associate's degree in chemical operations to go along with these other skilled craft areas. What's the future? One thing that Mr. Byrne referred to was it's very important, even though there are only 22,000 people in Fairfield County, it's tremendously important that those two sites would sit there, that we have individuals who participate in the nuclear industry coming from that particular county. If you look at that particular county, historically, they have participated at a lower percentage once they graduated high school and higher education. So with the help of South Carolina Electric and Gas, we put in a success center up at Fairfield Central High School. We've started, in conjunction with them, a STEM academy, and this is starting to pay off. For the last 3 years, we've seen the applications to our college quadruple coming from Fairfield County, because we again feel it's tremendously important. Yes, most of our students come from Lexington, Richland, and other counties, other urban counties around, but it's tremendously important that we find a way to make sure that students in Fairfield County participate in this opportunity too. So that's one of the big efforts that we continue to work on there for the future.
Women, both from the House and the Senate, outside of just South Carolina. So this issue has garnered support, from South Carolina to the state of Washington. And just yesterday, Senator Landrell from Louisiana was questioning why there was this pause, and she actually suggested that what they really needed to do was move forward and fund the MOX program to the tune of $500 million a year to continue with construction. So that's where we are on the political side. That's where we are on the legal side, and I'm happy to entertain any questions that you may have.
Questions? Claude?
Which court is this in, though?
This is in the Federal District Court in South Carolina, and it's in the Aiken Division. So it'll be in the federal court in Aiken.
Well, before I ask my question, I just want to say, I don't know if you wrote the complaint and if how much you knew about plutonium and MOX before you started, but you did a very good job of actually capturing the history of this, I think.
Well,
Well, thank you very much.
I can't keep it straight, and I've been working on for years.
Team effort. Mr. Whittington has been working on nuclear issues for the state of South Carolina, I think, since 1983. And I haven't been doing it quite that long, but I've been working on it for a few years.
So you expect DOE's response by mid-May. Can they get an extension? I don't explain the legal process. Well, like, what happens after that? Can the judge issue some kind of an order before he hears from DOE, or are we just waiting for DOE to say something?
In large part, we're waiting on DOE to respond with either a stop work order or with an answer. They have 60 days to answer the complaint. If they go ahead and move forward with a stop work order, then that's going to prompt a response from the state of South Carolina. So we would, in all likelihood, go to the judge and say, listen, we've got this complaint pending. You know, you need to essentially stop the stop work order until we get this issue resolved. So they could force our hand by issuing the stop work order, and that'll get us in front of the judge sooner rather than later.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I needed to know. Other questions? Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. One or the other. Next up is Shelley.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Senator Young, members of the council, members of the public. It's great to be here today. So I do have a presentation that I believe is coming up, but I'll go ahead and get started. It's just a very brief update on South Carolina DHEC activities. And they mainly focus today on Savannah River site. So there we go. But I'd like to give you an update on high-level waste tanks and also plutonium. And for the high-level waste tanks, as I've said before, we focus a lot on risk reduction from high-level waste at Savannah River site. The Cold War activities and legacy activities, Savannah River site has millions of gallons of highly radioactive and toxic liquid waste in tanks that are aging and degrading. And so it's a very large risk for our state, and because of that, we have schedules that require closure of the old style tanks on a certain schedule, and then also a schedule for treatment of all of that high level waste to reduce its risk. So because it's so important for the risk reduction for our state citizens, we do focus a lot of activity there in that arena. So just to let you know, we recently took a tour again of the tank farms. We go every year with all of our DHEC staff to make sure that we're, you know, we have a recent mental picture of, you know, at least once a year of what's going on. We do get out there individually more often than that. And we're also in the midst of review for the Tank 16 closure module, a piece of it. And if you remember back for Tanks 5 and 6, we did a very efficient regulatory review. We wanted to make sure our regulatory review was not on the critical path for closure of those two tanks. And so we wanted to make sure we were efficient, and actually we did end up being early. So we concluded our part of the schedule early. And we were not on the critical path for actual field activities. So it was a very successful regulatory review, and we're following the same process for a review of Tank 16, which is up next in the line for closure. So another big picture item is that for high-level waste activities, we were very pleased that for the FY15 budget, the President's budget proposal, the budget was actually up for high-level waste at Savannah River site by $32 million. So we were very pleased about that. If you remember, we had a lot of communication, a lot of letters about the FY14 budget, that it needed to be higher for high-level waste activities. And again, happy that this FY15 budget is up for liquid waste activities. We're not sure that it's still up as high as it needs to be to ensure that the Savannah River can easily or that Savannah River can meet all of the milestones scheduled out into the future. But again, we're encouraging and pressing DOE to do everything they can to obtain the money that is needed to meet all the milestones that we have in permits and orders and agreements for risk reduction through tank closure and high-level waste treatment in the future. And secondly, I just wanted to touch on plutonium because it has been a recent topic. But let me give you a little bit of background on where we're coming from a DHEC perspective. So plutonium is, we call it a special nuclear material. And by and large, Congress carved out plutonium from any kind of our waste oversight authority. They did that in legislation many, many years ago. And then, but significantly, Congress also clarified later on that mixed waste is subject to our DHEC authority for oversight and management and cleanup. So mixed waste is anything that's mixed, that's hazardous waste and also special nuclear material. So with that background, just to let you know some of the backstory on that, as long as MOX was in the path forward, then DHEC considered the plutonium to have value, essentially because it was going to be used for commercial fuel. So, but now, as long as MOX is not moving forward, it appears that the likely path for that plutonium is some form of disposal. And when you start talking about disposal, that looks a lot like waste. And so because of DOE's decision to put MOX in cold standby, we formed the question, and we sent a letter to Department of Energy. It's that first letter there, March the 21st, from our director, Templeton, to Dr. Moody and Doug Dieroff. And that letter contains the question, hey, now that you're, that MOX appears to be in cold standby, what is your position on all of that plutonium at the site? Is it a waste? Is it a mixed waste that would fall under our purview of oversight? So we sent that letter at the end of March and expect an answer back around the end of April from Department of Energy and NNSA. So the second letter is a follow-up on the first. And we recently sent that letter on April the 7th, but of course, I think everybody knows that Savannah River site is a potential receptor for plutonium shipments from other off-site places. And because of that, we were inspired to write the letter to say, Department of Energy and NNSA, again, now that MOX appears to be in cold standby, we ask you to evaluate any potential future plutonium shipments before they come to the site and evaluate and tell us if those that plutonium would indeed be a waste and a mixed waste. And if so, again, we feel like we would have oversight or authority over any mixed waste. And so and furthermore, our hazardous waste permit actually only allows receipt of a mixed waste from off-site sources under certain conditions. And so so this letter was just again, our request to be on record at Department of Energy, if you're considering bringing any plutonium shipments from other off-site sources, please make sure that you've considered that waste question, that you have evaluated that, and be aware that if it is a mixed waste, then we have authority over that that plutonium. So, and that's really all that I have today for you as an update. So, if you have any questions.
Questions?
Do you have any information at all back about, you essentially told them don't send it, right?
Yes. We said, make sure you know what you're sending.
I understand.
And if you're sending a mixed waste, make sure you comply with our permit.
Well, it sounds like you got it covered. It looks on the right to me. Thank you.
Well, and I assume that you'll be able to share the letters, the responses, after you get them back.
Yes.
Good. Any other questions? Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you.
Okay, now we move on to the Savannah River site. Not that we haven't already been talking about the Savannah River site a little bit. Before I ask Doug to make the first presentation, Ken Reuter is here. He is the president of Savannah River Remediation, the high-level waste contractor. He's not had an opportunity to visit us yet, so I'm going to give him this opportunity to introduce himself. Ken.
Well, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. I know we wanted to try to get together at the last meeting, but as you know, we've had some challenges that we've faced. Short of having to fend off a swarm of locusts, I've had to face everything else known to man with regard to that. I just want an opportunity to introduce myself to you. I'll leave you my business card so you have that contact, and just share a little bit about my background with you, and then I'll also offer that I'm here at the committee's disposal to come and provide future updates on our treatment mission and our closure mission. So just a little backdrop on Savannah River Remediation. We're responsible for essentially three fundamental, what I call product lines or missions as part of the liquid waste project and program at the site. So as Shelley mentioned, we are responsible for treating the waste, which is both in a high-level waste form and a low-level waste form. We're responsible for the safe, effective closure of the high-level waste tanks, both the legacy tanks and then subsequently after treating the other waste, the newer style tanks. And then we're also responsible for delivering the necessary projects to ensure that when the salt waste processing facility is brought online, that it integrates into the liquid waste program so that it subsequently treats its predominant waste stream, so that ultimately all integrates together in a successful treatment mission with respect to all the high-level waste inventoried at the site and properly disposes of the radioactive hazard and environmental hazards. So a little bit on myself. I'm coming back to the Aiken area after a 13-year journey. I started my federal career or the federal market career in Aiken in the mid-80s. I was actually part of the Defense Waste Processing Facility construction team. Spent at that time about one-third of my natural life on that job. It holds a very special place in my heart, actually, with regard to building that facility and then commissioning it and operating it. At that point, I went on this 13-year journey I refer to as the Tour of the Rivers. And so for those of you familiar with the DOE complex, each of the EM sites are located on a major river. So I packed up the family. We went west and spent a few years on the Columbia River as part of the waste treatment plant project to try to impart some of the experiences from here there on a major capital project. Then I actually went to the Snake River and spent some time at Idaho with regard to environmental cleanup projects, and then subsequently back to the Columbia River to work as part of the tank farm contract there, which is the sister site to Savannah River. And then recently in the late 2010-2011 time frame, went to Oak Ridge to be part of the East Tennessee Technology Park gaseous diffusion plant D&D and cleanup effort. So with that, then I bring from this 13-year journey, and I'm excited about it, to now bring those experiences both in environmental cleanup, D&D, waste management, high-level waste treatment, and major capital projects. And so there was a good synergy with regard to me coming back, since those are the three main product lines that have to be delivered to ultimately meet the liquid waste program here. Just a little bit, my principal focus is growth and mission delivery. The mission delivery is focused in those three main product lines. We're put a lot of focus on that effort in educating those in Washington with regard to where they had set our funding in the summer of 2013 and where it needed to be successful in 2014, working with DOE and the state. I think we were very successful in getting funding levels reestablished so that that we could deliver all three of those product lines in 2014. So I'm happy to tell you that you know, we're back fully into tank closure, working in tank 16 and 12, as I think most of you are aware of. We've got our salt disposition interface projects up and going, and we just completed a large-scale 10,000-plus activity outage to improve the reliability and maintainability of the main treatment plants, which are now up and running, and treating high-level waste, treating low-level waste, treating salt waste, and all the components of that. So we're back where we need to be in 2014, and I guess you'll hear some more from Doug on 2015, and then I can provide an update later on the kind of longer-term strategic plan to make sure that we have a fully integrated high-level waste, liquid waste treatment program, so that we get to those treatment milestones that the state had mentioned successfully, and then ultimately complete the closure of the high level waste flow sheet.
I have one quick one. Sure. I know, I think last year funding for the salt waste disposal facilities was critical. Does this new budget give you enough money to finish the disposal facility so you don't have to slow down the salt waste processing facility?
For 2014, it does.
Okay.
We're back where we need to be on salt disposal unit 6.
Yep. Okay.
Yes, we are. Actually, it's the largest capital project we have going right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very
and
much.
Just quickly on that, we've actually poured first nuclear concrete on that here at the beginning of 2014. So that project is progressing well now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm sure we'll see you again.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And 15 budget, how's that?
Doug's going to talk to that.
Okay. All right.
And so with that, Doug Hensie.
Good afternoon. My name is Doug Hensie. I'm the Assistant Manager for Mission Support and the Acting CFO at the Savannah River Site for DOE. Thank you very much for letting me come before the council. It seems like every time I come here, I do a little bit on the budget, and Jennifer keeps telling me how many, I have too many numbers in my presentations, but unfortunately, that's what I bring you, is numbers, and you'll see them again here today. I only have two real slides to go over to give you the overview for the budget, but first thing, it's the environmental management budget. It doesn't deal with the rest of the site programs. When we hear talk about the MOCs and the rest of the NNSA programs at the Savannah River site, that's not included in this budget. And I'm just going to give you the overview. So the two slides, basically, first thing is our prioritization. When you look at the different scope that we have on the environmental management side, you've heard us already talk, Shelley, and then Ken talk about the tank closures and the high-level waste disposition program. The other concentration or focus we also have is the nuclear materials program. We do have the other programs, soil and groundwater remediation, and the solid waste disposition, but there's only so much money to go around, so from a priority perspective, that's where the money is headed to. The one good thing, bottom line, for the fiscal year 15 compared to 14, it's a 2.6% increase. You'll see the chart on the next page. For the site, 2.6%. Total budget, $1.255 billion in 14 goes up to $1.282 billion in 15. Again, it's a request, and the only thing that, from my experience in being down here at the Savannah River site, we won't get that number. It'll be some other number other than the number that's in the request. But it's always good when your request starts out being higher than you have the, you know, this year that you're operating under. So it's a good start. Things that we're going to be planning to accomplish underneath the budget, we just like Kim was talking about, we do the salt disposition and we do the canister production. Well, for the salt disposition, 1 million gallons of salt for that budget to be able to disposition, and then produce 120 to 130 canisters of vitrified waste. Of course, we don't know exactly the amount, because one of the things we keep talking about is the integration of the system. You know, you just can't turn up one part, either the canisters or the salt. You have to take the material out of the tanks, you then have to process it, then you send it either to the salt or to the sludge. So it's all integrated, so that's why it's hard for us to just say, okay, it's going to be one specific number. Again, Ken talked a little bit about the salt waste processing construction, and one of the most important parts of that is not just completion of the facility is, but when it comes on board, you have to have it be able to tie into the existing tank system so that you can then start processing salt waste processing facility. The construction is done under Parsons. Savannah River Remediation, as Ken said, is responsible for those infrastructures that tie into the salt waste processing facility. We just mentioned there, Ken also mentioned about Salt Zone Disposal Unit 6 construction activities. They will continue. Funding actually increases in the upcoming year. And one of the things that you'll see on the next slide is that that project actually got broken out as a separate line item project with specific fence funding starting fiscal year 15 because of the stage that it's in the project. Before that, it's just been part of the entire liquid waste funding. And I'll point that out. And then the last thing we also talked about was closure activities for tanks 12 and 16. In accordance with the federal facility agreement, four tanks are due by the end of fiscal year 15. We've already closed two of those tanks, and then tanks 12 and 16 are the next two that are due by the end of fiscal year. Getting into the NUCO material disposition, you can see we're looking at dispositioning surplus plutonium. We go and package that material for disposition into the WIP facility. You may have heard or read about that there's been a couple of incidents out at the WIP facility, so they're not accepting any waste at this point in time. This budget does not take into account any of the impacts of those activities or the incidents out on WIP. So right now, for our purposes under this budget, we continue to put material, in this case I talked about plutonium, down at the bottom I talked about transuranic waste. We're making it ready for shipment, so the only thing it has to do is be placed onto the truck and then shipped out to the waste isolation pipeline. Again, we are continuing to process the used nuclear fuel in H Canyon, and one of the things is we're taking in Canadian liquid high-enriched uranium that we will blend down, and that processing will start during fiscal year 15 as well. From a non-proliferation perspective, we will continue to take receipt of special nuclear material from foreign countries. That's part of the Global Threat Reduction Initiative. And then also the ongoing program that you're well familiar with is the receipt of domestic and foreign research reactor fuel, which we bring back, and it's being stored in the L Basin right now. Going down into the other, we also have some 39 remediation systems that are on the site that are taking care of contamination, and so we will continue to maintain those remediation systems, as well as you can see there's monitoring over 2,000 wells that we have throughout the site. One of the new activities for the groundwater remediation is the D area ash basin. D area ash basin was part of the D area complex. That's where our coal-fired power plant was that we shut down in last year when we brought on our biomass cogeneration facility. So now we need to clean up those ash basins associated with that, and we will initiate that cleanup of those ash basins starting in 15. Well, actually, it's a startup of field work. We're starting to do some of the paperwork this year. And then the last thing you can see there is the completion of the legacy transuranic waste under the Recovery Act. We went and remediated, had to repackage a lot of transuranic waste, removed some of the materials that could not go when it was shipped off to the waste isolation pilot plant. So we've now got all of that material remediated. It's just sitting there waiting for shipments to WIP. And so in 15, we expect that all of that waste will be shipped off. So at that point there, we will just have just newly generated waste, and our expectation is that if any of it is generated, it'll be shipped off as it is generated. All right. Next slide. Here's the chart. Just one of the first things to show is you see this is blue up.